You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3, powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction.
It's the Rediscover the Road sales event. Finance a 2020 Rogue for 0% APR for 84 months or get a cash purchase bonus on other select models. Scarborough Nissan, Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.
Final hour, Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and up on TSN 2. Brian Hazy, O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan, Jerry's After Dark later in the hour. Darren Dreger, Hockey Insider, later in the hour, and Mark Kestacher coming up, ESPN radio voice for the East and West Final down in the bubble. Game 4 tonight, Miami-Boston.
How has it been, like, for that? Like, Mark's down in the bubble. How is that, like, must be a grind, man. You talk about the players and everybody. I think both coaches in the Stanley Cup Final were talking about just the, like, you're not doing normal stuff. You're just hotel, hockey rink. Like, I think Rick Bowness said he hasn't stepped on like a piece of grass sod in 8 weeks.
Yeah.
Like it's a weird time being down there. It's getting down to the grind. Like, these guys probably can't wait to just get the job done and get out of there, whether it be broadcasters or the players, everybody involved.
The end is in sight for sure. I talked to somebody in the bubble the other day and they were like, now that you can see, you know, you got a chance to win the cup. You're like, the guys are razor locked in, like focused. Mm-hmm. Like that, there was a lull. I think it was last round where you could see teams hitting the wall. They were like, what the hell are we doing here? And yeah. and you imagine being in there. The worst part for all of this will be the runner ups. Like, oh, you went through it. Obviously, you talk about it all the time. The pain that you feel going all the way to the finals and not winning. Can you imagine, you know, 2.5 months of your life in a bubble?
No.
And you come up that short.
That would be crushing. It's such a good point. Like, one of these two teams is going to leave the bubble and say, what the hell was that? Like, what was the point of that? You know, like, that's so deflating. Because it really doesn't mean, you know, it means something. You went on a run. You were with your teammates. And, you know, that's, you get paid to do it. And you're not regretting the grind because you knew there was a purpose in the end.
Right.
You know, you were trying to achieve the greatest goal of your career. But if you fall flat right at the finish line with all of that dedication and all of the sacrifice, that's got to just sting worse than any other year. You know, maybe that's the focus that we haven't brought to the table enough. We keep talking about this for months. How would it feel if you win the cup in the bubble? Is it going to change things? What if you can't bring the cup home like we discussed earlier today? What about the team that loses Game 7 double OT, and they're no different than the team that went home a month and a half ago? You don't get to go home with anything else. You don't have a cup. You don't have a ring. You don't have a party. You just leave, just like the Leafs did 2 months ago.
Yeah. Families are going to be staring at the guys that came home from the bubble. They're going to be staring at them like they were on some deserted island. They're going to be like, it's like Tom Hanks coming home from that movie. Like,
and
they're
going to
be like, are you okay? Yeah, you're going to be like, are you okay?
Like, all it's, good? It's, like, how you feeling? I know you were that close. Haven't seen you in 2 months. You've been in a bubble in Toronto and Edmonton or whatever.
And you lost and you got nothing, so welcome home.
Yeah.
That's
tough,
it
is.
Man.
I mean,
really
there is. The guys are making some, you saw the playoff share is a lot higher, but there's a lot of guys in there that aren't, you know, that don't need the financial resources, put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I mean, a guy who is making 800 could use that money as opposed to somebody who's a $10 million or an $8 million player. Like Tyler Seguin makes what, nine?
Yeah, nine, nine and a half, Stamkos, Hedman, Ben.
Yeah, those
These guys are all
are
making big money. Pavelski.
Right.
You know.
But
none of them have won a cup.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So it's that much more of a sting in a weird way, I guess. You know, I guess we'll find out. I'm sure they'll be open to talking about it at some point, you know, what kind of emotional swing they're going to go through.
Yeah.
But that would make it, I would think, even more difficult, the fact that you never won.
Yep.
You know, like if LeBron makes it to a final and loses again, it'll be crushing. You know, it'll suck, and he's been fighting for it and pushing for it. But he's already got three rings. You know, he's probably going to have a chance to go back next year. You never know. Like, in the Stanley Cup playoffs, you may not even make the playoffs next year. Like, I think Tampa will for sure, but Dallas, I think they will, but who knows?
Well, the parity is so close, and you have a season where your top players don't play that well, and it just – I mean, Tampa was a top-flight team that missed the playoffs one of those years. Do you remember? They had like a
injury-riddled season a few years ago.
Just an absolute disaster right from start to finish. And then they were right back in there. I think they went to the final the next year. But you're right. With the parity in the National Hockey League, you have no idea how this can unfold. So you better relish it, and you better. That's why it's so interesting with Tampa. We just thought they were going to be there every year. They were going to be a winning organization, and they haven't been there since 2015 in the finals.
And totally different context. But again, the Tyrod Taylor situation. Like you're not guaranteed anything in pro sports, and all of a sudden, team doctor ruptures your lung, and you don't know if you're ever going to start again. For the Chargers, you know, and it's probably just incredibly emotional for him to try to overcome the injury, but then also realize here's this kid who has potential to light the league on fire. And if he does, probably going to get the starts even when I come back. And it wasn't my fault. It was literally the team's fault or the team employee's fault.
Yeah.
But we'll get to that a little bit later this afternoon. We got game four tonight, Eastern Final, Miami up 2-1 in that series. And we got a 2-1 series out west, and a man that's calling both series for ESPN Radio, alongside our buddy PJ Carlissimo as well. Here is Mark Kesticher. How are you feeling down there, Mark?
I'm doing okay. The voice is still strong, but talk to me in a few days because I think we're going to be going here for the next six or seven, the way these series seem to be shaping up now.
Right. Yeah, I mean, night after night after night. Last night was a fun game, so you call that, and now you got to go back at it tonight. I mean, how, as a broadcaster, what's your daily routine like down there?
Oh, you know, usually it's try to get some sleep, although you know PJ, and that is he doesn't have dinner till after the game. So, you know, we're getting served food at about midnight, and it's not one course, and there's a few drinks. And, of course, I said yes to our ESPN morning show this morning, our brand-new morning show, for 6:30 a.m. So I was just getting into a nice, comfort sleeping zone when that alarm went off at 6:15. But usually good sleep, lots of tea and honey. Maybe keep it to 9 holes, you know, to pass some time in the early afternoon.
Okay, I like it.
But otherwise, try not to talk as much.
How is PJ Carlissimo dealing with not going to restaurants every single day? How's he handling that?
That's been the biggest question I have been asked, because I tell everybody, like, Uber Eats has saved my life. And they say, we don't think, like, PJ would ever be, you know, eating from, you know, random fast food place. And I said, no, we're staying at a really nice hotel that has a 5-star restaurant. And he, good thing he's got a credit card with a very, very big credit limit, because he loves that restaurant. And you know, we're all probably gaining, you know, maybe 20 to 15 NBA bubble pounds while we're here.
Yep, the bubble pounds. It's happening, man. We're not even in the bubble, and we're putting on weight, so don't worry about it. With Mark Kesticher, the voice of the NBA playoffs on ESPN Radio, Game 4 tonight in the East. In the West last night, you know, that was an opportunity for the Lakers to just close out Denver. And they didn't do it. Denver played really well last night. They almost let it slip late, but they finally closed the door. Do you sense, you know, it's one game, but do you sense that maybe the Lakers are going to fall into the same trap that the Clippers did and, I guess by extension, Utah did when it comes to Denver and not being able to put them away?
You know, it's hard to imagine that they would, seeing what's happened in the last two series, especially the Clippers series. I mean, none of us saw those three second halves coming. And all of us, you know, have been watching what Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic, you know, have been able to do all year long in this postseason. I thought, you know, Frank Vogel, the Lakers head coach, was pretty ingenious in, you know, sending Dwight Howard after Jokic. That first game, he was in his head. The first half of game two, he was as well. Jokic was able to overcome it, you know, for the most part down the stretch in game two, and they lose a tough one at the buzzer. And then Jamal Murray is a bigger superstar, I guess. I'm putting him into that superstar category than I realized he was going to become. I mean, last night was amazing. Jokic didn't score a single point in the fourth quarter. And those two threes by Murray and 12 assists, when it counted, you're right, because the Lakers started switching up the defense. Rondo at the head of his zone was turning him over left and right. And then next thing you know, you don't think Denver can withstand it. But, you know, real credit to Jamal Murray, who you guys obviously are very familiar with, how he has stepped up into superstar status to make sure they did not lose that game.
We were talking before you came on about LeBron James and the flailing a little bit, and you know, I thought he sold several calls last night, but there was one with Jamal Murray where I thought it was so egregious. Like, I don't know, when you're watching it, is that just LeBron? He's developed that type of reputation, or he just wants to sell calls?
You know, I think it's all across the league now. You know, guys have figured out how in real time, you know, to sell that call where the officials will, you know, because they have replay at their disposal to decide, let's halt the game, let's go take a look. And, you know, when you slow it frame by frame, you know, oftentimes you could find stuff, you know, that you weren't sure that was there. And, I mean, it was real. I mean, it's hard to tell. You can catch somebody just gingerly, just right, and maybe catch him just at the worst part and knock them down. But I remember looking at that replay, and I'm like, it doesn't look like a guy should fall down and crumple like that based on what happened. And the way the rules are set up is, you know, anything above the shoulders that involves the elbows of the opposing player is usually going to lead to a flagrant one. So I was not surprised. I thought there was a play later in the game, opposite teams, and I couldn't remember if it was Jamal who got hit. You know, all these games are bleeding into one another, but I remember thinking, I'm surprised they're not going back to replay this, although in my estimation, it probably should have been a play on. So, you know, I chalk it up to a lot of players now who've become very good at selling those calls.
You look at Jamal Murray, and, you know, he has become a closer. And I think that is what truly elevates you to superstar status, right? You're the kind of guy where if you've got the ball in your hands late, the opposition is going to start to shake a little bit and sweat it out. And his shooting percentages are off the charts. Like, since he's been in the bubble, I believe he's shooting 50, 46, 85. Like, 46% wow. From three. Shot 50% from three last night. Like, this dude is lighting this league on fire. And I think it's reasonable to expect it to continue post-bubble. I mean, he's still a young guy, continues to grow in his game year after year. He's got Jokic there who can always bail him out, or vice versa, whichever way you want to look at it. But where are you at with the idea that maybe this is a ceiling? Is there more growth? Like, what should we expect out of Jamal Murray for the next 2 or 3 years?
I would like to think there's more growth just because of how young he is and just how he and Jokic have kind of, they found it. You know, we're working with PJ Carlesimo, working with Doris Burke as well, and she's really good at diagnosing, you know, pick and roll and all that stuff. And we over, you know, a drink the other night. She's like, those guys are a nightmare because as a defender, you know, you don't know which way to go. You know it's coming, and you have no idea how you could defend it. I mean, it's the oldest play in basketball, the pick and roll, but they're just so good at it in all the options they have, whether it's, you know, Murray's ability to shoot in the pick and pop, and Jokic at 7 feet to be able to shoot from the perimeter. Both can drive. You know, Jokic can bang. And now you add the element of, you know, I didn't know Murray was as good of a passer as he showed me last night. And I think that's always been there in that ability. But I just think, you know, just the fact that they have figured this out the last couple of years, and they were one win away from a conference final last year. They get there this year. And at their ages, I have to imagine there's plenty of ceiling left for those two, especially together, to take it up even a little more. They're just, you know, it's just unfortunate they're in a conference that's very difficult. I mean, the Lakers and the Clippers are probably better teams on paper than Denver, and Denver's not that far away from either of them.
You just mentioned Doris Burke. She does so much for women in sports. How much fun is it? She seems like she has a blast doing the games. How much fun is it to work with her as an analyst during the games?
It's been great. I've done a couple TV games with her a number of years ago, and, you know, that's an analyst medium where, you know, you just wind her up, and I didn't have to do that much work. Here I got to do a little more, obviously, on radio to describe, but it's fun out of the corner of my eye to see both PJ and Doris just itching and twitching to get in because of all the stuff they're seeing. And for her, she's had to make the adjustment quickly to realize it's got to be a very concise, intelligent, you know, many times 5 to 8 second soundbite, which for any of us would be difficult, especially diagnosing basketball. So she's done a great job adjusting to us. We've had a lot of fun having her, you know, come down from TV over to the radio booth. And she's a pretty good golfer, too. So we got the full package here. We got the broadcaster deluxe. We got someone to play 9 or 18 holes with us at the drop of a hat. And, you know, she's got incredible basketball IQ.
Yep, that'll work for sure. Game four tonight, Miami and Boston on ESPN Radio. He is Mark Kestacher. He'll have the call. It's been a blast catching up with you. Try to stay active down there. Do your thing. Enjoy yourself while you're there, and we'll do it again soon. Thank you, Mark.
I may have to get in the pool and do laps. I don't think golf counts as a way to combat the COVID-15. But
it does on this show. It does on this show, believe me. Enjoy
it
down there.
Talk to you guys soon. Thank you.
You got it. Mark Kestacher from ESPN. I haven't thrown out a stay active in a while. That's an old school, you know, COVID show saying that I dropped. Who did I drop that on?
It was an athlete, too. It was a hockey player, I think. You were like, okay, stay active.
Was it Kadri?
No, it was Bo Bichette.
I think it was Bo Bichette.
You were like, okay, stay active.
Yeah, he was calling stay active, stay fit, overdrive. Stay active.
I forgot about that.
Fit.
That's right. It was. It was Bo Bichette, and he called in, and he's never calling us ever again.
No, he's out of the rotation. He's done. Stay active. Who the hell is this clown?
Malls, do you have that? Do you have that? Who was that with?
It was, for
sure. I don't know. Be safe. Keep active, and we'll do this again down the road. We appreciate it. What a goofy comment.
Malls, was that Bo Bichette?
Yeah, he's looking it up. I have no idea.
No, he said he doesn't know. He doesn't know, but he just said it was stupid. Play it one more time, how dumb that is.
You know, be safe, keep active, and we'll do this again. That is such a dumb comment.
No,
it's the dumbest comment.
There
must have been something going on earlier in the chat where we brought it up about him.
No, dude, there was nothing. It was kind of it was the beginning phase of kind of COVID where nobody was doing much. And I think he was at home with his parents, and you were like, okay, man, stay safe and stay active.
Keep active.
And I remember saying after, I'm like, did you just tell a professional athlete to keep active? It was something else.
I think he told us that all he had been doing is doing a little bit of, like, batting practice in the backyard. Mm-hmm. And then he said, I've been playing a lot of video games. I feel like he said something like that. And that's why Hayes was like,
I was trying to
inspire
him.
Stay active. Like,
I was going Rudy Rutiger, man.
He's never calling us.
No, he's never coming back on again. But I was Rudy. I was being a hero. And, you know, it's practice. It's off season. All the real athletes just want to take it easy. And I told Bichette, keep active. And he's had a pretty good year outside of the injury problems. But
yeah, you motivated him. You got Bo Bichette on track.
I think so. Yep. I think
that
was a who, Chris Farley. What was his name in the motivational speaker?
Oh, that's right. I can't remember.
Matt Foley. That was basically my rendition of Matt Foley. I've been hanging out, drinking coffees in the basement for 5 hours. Keep active, Bo. Keep active, Mark Kestacher.
I love it.
It actually sounds like they're living a pretty good lifestyle down there. Bottle of wine, order some food, play some golf. Could be worse. You know, call some ball games.
Well, that's a resort. They literally are at a resort.
Yep.
Like,
and
it's
you're
not
playing
Edmonton.
Golf all the time, man. Like, although you're paying, aren't you? Like, didn't that come out of that piece on ESPN that the players, like, they are paying for everything?
Yes.
Like, that's what I thought I read was, like, you know, because I kind of had the expectation it would be. Like food and stuff. If you want food, you pay for it. It's yours. Well, like we're not supplying you with food.
Well, do you think the NHL at the draft just gives that booze bag we talk about just a free rein? No, the guy's got it.
Maybe.
That guy has an NHL credit card, and he goes crazy.
He burns
with it.
Through his per diem in the first 16 minutes, and then he's into his own pocket. I talk to guys all the time in the bubble. Like, you get your... The team sets up your meals, so you can eat all day, every second of the day on the team because they've got their own, like, conference room where there's just food there. But if you want to go out to the bar or go to the hotel bar or order room service and all that, that's on you. Like, you're running up your own bill. And
which
you
it should be. I mean, these are millionaires, and they're grown adults.
Right.
And, you know, we'll set you up, and you're staying for free. But if you want anything on top of it, you got to pay for it. But I guess I just was of the impression it was like kind of an all-inclusive resort. You know, they're at like a Sandals or something in Edmonton.
No,
no. Like,
think of it.
Get whatever you want.
I guarantee you there are guys that have burned through their mini bar, and it's had to be restocked.
Absolutely. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if a member of one of the two teams left in the NHL or four teams left in the NBA have spent $100,000 plus in the bubble. Because you'd have to pay, I'm sure, for golf, and you'd probably have to pay – I don't know what you're paying for, but if you're bringing stuff in, which I'm assuming you can.
Yep. If it was somebody on staff that wasn't actually playing the games, that was a heavy boozer and a heavy golfer, there could be $100,000 tossed out in that bubble.
2 months for of sure. booze and golf, that would get expensive quickly.
Yeah,
That's what I want to know. What kind of cash are we talking about for the one degenerate who's been gambling in there and just getting crazy?
One guy told me there's an NHL veteran that's on the Aces squad. So all the guy does is get bag skated every day, and then he goes and bellies up at the bar, and he's just a mess every night.
Yeah. Just living large in the bubble, man. Knowing you're getting bag skated, you're going to be hung over until you're done it, and then you're going to feel fine.
Right. And
then you get back on the horse.
And there's zero chance that he'll play.
Right. Well, zero. I hope so. His blood alcohol level is consistently like 3%.
Yeah, he's the guy in Slapshot that's going to piss all over himself in the corner.
All right, Darren Dreger, our Hockey Insider, coming up. A couple weeks away from free agency opening up. What can we expect? What is the latest? We'll get you those answers. We're keeping active here on Overdrive, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, Jerry's at the dark later in the hour. Best Bets brought to you by ProLine. Darren Dreger coming up here in just a moment. Hockey Insider, and we have a correction. Mullen has dug into the archives. It was not Bo Bichette.
Really?
Who I told to keep active. It was who I said it was, Nazem Kadri, the Dream himself. And I have no idea why I said that to him. I don't remember the context of the conversation. Just a remarkably offside and obnoxious comment to a pro athlete to tell him to keep active. But I did it. I did it.
Wow!
It was something that came out of your mouth. I was like, it's so... it was one of those things where if we said that to, like, one of your football people or...
Yeah. You would cut us off.
What, you guys didn't roast me for it? I love... What, do you think this was just let off the hook? Like, oh, well, let that one slide. Literally the rest of the show, all you did was goof on me for saying keep
Well, listen to this. Listen to how stupid this is. Malls, one more time for the crowd.
Well, Naz, we wish you nothing but health and safety out there, man. We always appreciate you finding time for us, especially considering what's going on. So, be safe, keep active, and we'll do this again down the road. We appreciate it.
Naz, keep active, my man.
Be safe.
That's my guy. I miss him in Toronto.
Keep active.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. Keep active, walk back to Toronto, and flip that trade. Go by the NHL front office and tell them, men in black, we're going to pretend that never happened.
If you could undo one trade, would you undo that one?
Not all time for the Leafs, but over the past year or two, of course. I mean, what else comes close? Nothing.
I'm not undoing that one.
That's the number one must-happen undo trade.
But not for, obviously, like you. There's been a list of trades.
All time. It's not even close. I don't know if it would crack the top 10.
The Tuukka Rask one, right? Like, that one would be one?
The Tuukka deal's in the top five. Yeah, if you could undo five trades all time historically, I gotta believe Raycroft or Rask would crack the top five. But there have been...
The comical part about that, Brian, I think it came out a couple of weeks ago. And we love Razor, Andrew Raycroft.
Yeah, we love him.
I think Boston was thinking about putting him on waivers or something.
They were. That was like reported. It was Tim Thomas's team. And they had another guy. I don't remember who it was. But
might
they
have
had
been
another
John
guy.
Graham.
It was something like that. And Raycroft's numbers had really, fallen off. And they were basically calling around saying, if you want him, you can have him. Like, what do you want? And somehow John Ferguson Jr. said, I'll just give you a Tuukka Rask. I don't think he'll
can either confirm or deny that.
He won't materialize into anything. He's still keeping active in the NHL. Here's Darren Dreger, TSN Hockey Insider. What's up, Dregs?
You guys are never going to let JFJ off the mat, are you?
No, because I hate him. That's why.
He's still in the running for things, though, isn't he? I mean, his name's out there, Dregs.
What's that?
His name's still kind of kicking around. He's got opportunities. There's things happening on the back burner
for
John Ferguson Jr.
Yeah, for sure. I mean,
you know, I can't count the number of times that he's interviewed for our general manager job since leaving Toronto. Obviously hasn't gotten one. Seems comfortable in working with Don Sweeney and the Boston Bruins there. So maybe at some point, but when you've got new blood like Billy Armstrong, as an example, coming in, or, you know, Bill Zito going into Florida, that's a pretty good indication that NHL ownership groups have gone over the retreads, and they're more interested in some of the fresh ideas that are coming in.
Well, Dregs, when a guy like that goes into Arizona, does he say to the ownership and whoever put him in place, like, is this going to continue to be a clown show, or can I have the funds necessary to build a winner? Because I want this job. They love to be in the group of guys called the NHL GMs, but if you're not going to let me have the assets and what I need, then this is pointless.
Right. I think he was very straight and upfront with ownership in Arizona when he interviewed there. He put together a forensic presentation of what he believes is necessary to get the Arizona Coyotes back on a solid foundation. But unfortunately, and fortunately, if you're ownership, both sides agree that they've got to take it down to the wood and effectively start all over again. How they're going to be able to do that is going to be a challenge, because there's some pretty hefty contracts there that aren't going to be easy to move. That's just the reality of the situation. Probably priority one, or near the top of the list of priorities, is recouping those two draft picks. That's second and the first that Arizona has to forfeit for, you know, the wrongdoing around the upcoming draft. So he's hoping, of course, that he's going to parlay some of his playing assets into those two draft picks. But again, Bill Armstrong had an extensive plan for the Marullo family when he met. I was told it was upwards of like 90 pages, and a lot of it would have been specific to, okay, here's what we need to do to get this organization back on solid hockey footing, and then financially, when we get to that phase of where we've turned the corner, I'm going to need your support.
Well, Darcy Kemper's name has been out there a lot. He's, I think, got 1 year left on his deal, right? But he has been a rock star the last 2 years when he's been healthy. Like, his numbers are off the charts.
Yeah, I think it's two, Brian. Two years left on his deal.
So why would he be available? Like, how does that make any sense?
For that first rounder.
That's the only way it makes sense. Because imagine, you know, Rick Tocchet doesn't have much or any hair left, right? Like, he is going to be rubbing it right down to the wood if, you know, they do something with their goaltending. They move out Darcy Kemper. It's going to be tough, especially if you're successful from a management standpoint and you're moving out the big contracts like Ekman-Larsson, et cetera. You know, again, if the plan is to be bad but try and be competitive through that process, you know, how do you do that with inferior goaltending? So I agree with Noodles. You know, if the only way for you to get that first-round draft pick back is to throw Darcy Kemper into the mix, then begrudgingly and unwillingly, I guess you have to consider it. But I saw a video out of the Arizona Coyotes today with Bill Armstrong talking about how much he loves Darcy Kemper. So that's either salesmanship at this stage, or he really doesn't want to trade him. And it may boil down to that. But it's one thing to go through a rebuild and have, you know, your coaching staff and everybody on board, but you want to keep it competitive. And you can't do that if your goaltending is no good.
Well, and that's the, when I'm looking at Arizona, it sounds like they're open for business on everyone that is 23 years old and up type of thing, if you're going to take it down to the wood. Oliver Ekman-Larsson is really interesting for me. Like, I think his cap hits 8.25. Yeah, 8.25. But, like, he's 29 years old. He's a really good player. And I think he needs a change of scenery. I know that the league is trying to shed money, but I think there's a big market for a guy like that. Like, it depends on the asking price again, because that's what they're trying to recoup. But there's got to be several teams that need a number one or a number two defenseman that can play a power play. And, I mean, this guy has scored, I believe, 20 goals multiple seasons. Like, he's got a big shot. He's got all the tools. It'd be interesting to see if Arizona would part with him.
Well, I think they have to consider it, and there's certainly been enough speculation around, you know, the National Hockey League to believe that that is the case. But, you know, I also know that the new general manager had a conversation with Oliver Ekman-Larsson's agent, Kevin Epp, and told him that he doesn't really want to trade him. Again, it always depends on what's the rate of return. When the manager is telling the agent he doesn't want to trade him, that doesn't sound to me like ownership is putting a tremendous amount of heat on the general manager to move out, you know, those contracts. Although that's been the storyline all along, is that they want to get into the low 70s or high 60s, even lower than high 60s, if that is even doable. It's not doable if you're not willing to part with Oliver Ekman-Larsson. Because I agree. I think he needs a change of scenery, and I think that there'll be lots of interest. And, you know, this is just my brain working the way it does, so this isn't inside information. But I wonder if the two Armstrongs, who know each other very well, who are tight in Doug and Bill, can maybe work together. If Doug Armstrong gets to a place, and he's got to be real close, where, you know, he knows he's moving away from Alex Pietrangelo, does it make sense that you find a way to make a deal for Ekman-Larsson, you know, to come in there and fill part of that void? I'm not sure that it does, because he's got other financial concerns in St. Louis that he's going to have to look after. But I got to believe that there'll be a strong market for OEL.
Yeah, I mean, he's a great player, as we know.
Yeah.
And Pietrangelo, you know, you just hit on it, so I guess we'll go there. Feels like we're looking for daily updates, but
yeah,
they're not necessary if nothing's changed. I mean, where do we stand on that today?
No, look, I mean, because there's no interview period, general managers are doing their due diligence, right? And they're trying to get to a place, those that are interested in taking a swing at Alex Pietrangelo, whether or not it's real, whether or not he's getting a market on October 9th. Now, again, we know how Doug Armstrong works. He's as crafty as any manager in the league, period, and ruthless, because more than anything, he wants to win, period. You know, he's fair, and you know, he's a good guy to his players and all of that. But something tells me, even though I was the guy that reported on the weekend that talks had broken off, and the message from the team, which is true, was to Alex, look, you better prepare and get yourself ready for free agency, because we're not going to be able to make a deal work here because of the structure and some other issues. What if Armstrong goes to the Pietrangelo family on the 8th of October and sweetens it just a little bit, you know, gives him a little bit of the structure that he wants? You know, is that going to be enough to change the mindset of Alex Pietrangelo? Because It does feel like a stretch to me that St. Louis isn't going to try at least one more time. And if they're unsuccessful, then there's a long line of teams that are going to take a shot at this guy, including the Toronto Maple Leafs, because as you guys have talked about at length, he is, financially aside, just put the numbers aside if you can, he's exactly what the Maple Leafs want and need. He's exactly what they want and need. So,
yeah, Dregs, isn't there teams
that they're going to try?
Isn't there teams saying, look, what exactly is the structure that he's looking for, whether it be Toronto or another team? You know,
yeah,
that somebody's talking to the agent saying, what exactly is this guy looking for? And they're saying,
yeah,
we can make that happen.
Right. And you know, I don't have the specifics, but I'm going to take an educated guess here, okay? You know it's going to be the signing bonus money.
No
St.
kidding.
Louis is a cash, right? What's that?
Yeah, no
yeah,
kidding.
No, yeah, absolutely.
It's
yeah,
going to be massive.
The signing bonus money will have to be there. And St. Louis isn't a cash-strong team. They've never given out bonuses like that, and they don't want to start now, even with their captain, Alex Pietrangelo. And then I believe that there would maybe have to be some protection on the back end, too, as well, salary-wise, right? So deferred money, if you will. So it's being creative, but when you're a player like Alex Pietrangelo, I mean, you've earned your right to get to a place where other like players have gotten to, and they've enjoyed the benefits of being a coveted, unrestricted free agent. The crappy part is, sometimes you have to leave to get it, and Pietrangelo is apparently willing to do that. So Toronto could give it to him. Lots of the teams that are interested in Pietrangelo are in a position financially they could give it to him. So if he sticks to his guns and he remains committed to that structure, then he's not going to stay in St. Louis.
with Darren Dreger, our hockey insider. So it sounds like there is a deal, like maybe on the one-yard line between Hornquist and Matheson and Pittsburgh and Florida. And we referenced their new GM down in Florida, and I was having this conversation earlier today, how, you know, Bill Zito's on the job for like a week or two, and he's already making a deal.
Yeah.
Like, is that he just loves Hornquist, or is that more likely it's Quinville saying, you know, I need something new here. I'm not the biggest fan of Matheson.
Yeah.
You got to believe Q's got a huge voice in what's going to happen here.
No question about that. And probably everything you just said, Brian, there'd be so many layers. You know, the agent for Mike Matheson, I'm sure, would have talked to Billy Zito probably on the weekend just to read the temperature as to what was coming out of, you know, the whole Mike Kitchen scenario. And, you know, look, Mike Matheson didn't have a very fun year last year. Who's kidding who? So he might welcome a change. I don't believe that he formally asked for a trade, but I'm sure Ken Hughes, in conversation with Billy Zito, explored the possibility and found out, yeah, I mean, there's some interest in him. But this one is snarly, right? And it scares me a little bit as a hockey insider because, you know, I can guarantee you that Jimmy Rutherford and Bill Zito have not had a pleasant day. You know, they weren't able to lock down that deal before it came off the rails because it was reported. I'm not blaming Kevin Weeks. Kevin Weeks got a good tip on a developing story, a developing trade. But because of the timing and how it came out, no one, the players didn't know about it. And, you know, as has been reported, my understanding as well is that there's some medical insurance issues that aren't always easily solved that both teams, you know, would have had to have worked through. And Patrick Hornquist has the no-trade clause, and he probably read about it on Twitter or was told about it by somebody who read about it on Twitter and maybe wasn't as accommodating in his willingness to waive. So that's what happened when guys, I guess, report this stuff a little prematurely. But not on Kevin Weeks. It's just one of those rare situations where, you know, the T's weren't crossed and the I's weren't dotted yet. So it might be entirely off the rails now.
Ooh, man. Yeah. Like I'll say that. Like Jim Rutherford, those Penguins, man, they move and shake, don't they?
Yeah.
Like
is he not the most active general manager? Like you always seem like, and I love him. We had him on the show. What was that? A couple weeks ago. He's like, yeah, Matt Murray's going to be traded. He's basically just shooting from the hip. Like, yeah, you know what? I got to do this. I got to shed some salary. Probably not going to do this. Like, I love his honesty. But he flat out, if he doesn't like what he sees, like he's not shy to go and change it.
No. And when he says something publicly, that means he's doing it. You know, he's not paying lip service because he wants the hockey world to think that Jim Rutherford is a hardworking manager. He's telling the truth, and he's putting all of us on point. So he's far from done. He's a realist. He knows that the window of winning a Stanley Cup in Pittsburgh is closing and probably closing in the next couple of years. So he's going to do everything within his power to inject some new blood into that lineup. And obviously Pittsburgh is a team that has, you know, financial restraints and concerns as well. So, you know, he's got to look after that. But the Pittsburgh Penguins are going to be a better team, I believe, when they drop puck, whenever that is in 2020-21, than they were this year, and that'll be because of the changes that Jimmy made.
Well, it's going to be a fun 2 weeks. We're looking forward to seeing where it takes us. Great stuff as always, buddy. We'll do it again soon.
All right, guys. Have a good night.
Darren Dreger, Hockey Insider. Yeah, that's kind of weird how that thing was almost done, and then all of a sudden the trade kind of fell through for whatever reason, and now you never know if it's going to happen again.
Well, but you get it out there that somebody is getting traded and it's trending on Twitter. Can you hear that noise?
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
You know what it is? It's Gino Retta yelling out of my screen. I've got my sound everything down, but on the talkback, for some reason, Gino is taping something. And it was rattling me on our last guest. I'm like, who the hell is talking? And it's coming out of my computer.
It's really
even
loud.
Though the sound is down, it's Gino doing his liners.
Wow.
Screaming into the camera.
Well, he does project. I mean, he's a Hall of Fame broadcaster for a
reason.
He's
the best. I love Gino, but I it
I even sent a message. We're trying to do something live here. Come on,
he is fired up for the show. I'll tell you that.
7-11, that's hockey.
Jacked.
Must see. I can't wait to hear what he's got up his sleeve at 7 o'clock.
Let's go to break. We have some business to attend to after, don't we?
Yes, we do. Jerry's After Dark. I hope that's what you're indicating.
Yes.
Okay, we'll get to that more coming up. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.
Welcome to Jerry's After Dark, where all of your wildest hot takes come to life. Because Jerry's always in the mood for one more, and you know exactly what I'm talking about.
All right, here we go. Jerry's After Dark.
What's so funny in the Hayes house?
I saw something online that I'll tell you about it a little bit later. It's inappropriate for the show, let's put it that way. I didn't know you could see me in the breaks. I can't see anybody else in the breaks.
Oh, yeah. You were pissing your pants laughing.
You're just creeping over there, eh? Checking in on your guy over here. Okay. Jerry's After Dark. You ready for this? We have time for one more
horny hot take.
That hero, Roger Goodell, will have his wish granted and the Super Bowl will have full attendance in the seats. Jerry wants that kind of pull, but Jerry doesn't have that kind of pull.
Yeah, the NFL really pushing that, man. They're hoping for a full capacity Super Bowl.
Wow.
What are the chances?
I think zero, to be honest with you.
Is it still February? Or like it's
yeah, it'll be early February. Feb. Yep. I guess they could technically move it around, but I don't think they will.
Knows what happens south of the border, though.
I'm saying no way.
0%.
I just read today Johnson & Johnson's in their third stage trial.
For vaccines?
Yeah. You're seeing that. They're thinking that maybe by the end of October, November, like they're going to have a lot. I don't know. It's a stretch, but I have no – I think there's a chance. I really do. And especially, like you say, south of the border.
And it's supposed to be in Tampa. So it's outdoors. It's in Florida.
Yeah.
You know, like that – I think there's a real chance of it because they're having rallies down there. There's a lot going on in the States.
Yeah.
Where COVID is not being taken nearly as seriously as it is, you know, around the world. Like, I guess Trudeau was just on TV talking earlier this hour, and he gave his national speech, and he said, you know, the four big provinces, including the one we're in right now, we're officially into the second wave and could be uglier in the fall than it was in the spring. And, you know, I obviously didn't get to see it or hear it. I'm just reading transcripts online.
Right.
But that would indicate it's a tone of, hey, let's kind of batten down the hatches here, you know what I mean, and let's get this thing back on the rails. But I don't sense that that's going to happen down in the States. And if it's in Florida, it's in Tampa, open stadium, I'll say 80%, because you know they're going to be able to find 60,000 people to walk in there. It's just a matter of whether or not they let it, right?
Yeah,
I'm
lower on this. I'm 27%, but I think it's a good chance. There's a good chance there.
I mean, let's hope, right? Like, I don't want to root against that. I hope we're in a spot where we can have the Super Bowl, where we can go to games down at Scotiabank in February, right, for Leafs and Raptors and whatever. But
I agree.
You know, I'm not banking on the vaccine. That doesn't mean it won't be there, but I don't think it's going to be there for every fan around North America that wants to go to a game.
No.
You know, it's going to be for – I don't know how they're going to disperse it, and I don't know if we're going to have access to it up here. Time now for our Best Bets brought to you by ProLine. I'm looking at the props tonight in the basketball game. Over the number total points for Tatum tonight. Under the number total points for Kemba. Over the number total threes made by Miami. Throwing out 20, you can score 98. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio. ProLine, it's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. Before you wager, get the latest odds, event info, and matchup stats on your phone. ProLine, put your knowledge on the line. Game 3 of the Cup tonight. Who you guys got?
I got Tampa.
I'll go with Dallas just to buck the trend. I mean, I don't have a read on this. I really don't. You know, Dallas, they're going to be in it. I don't think anyone's getting blown out tonight.
They don't go away. You're right. Dallas could be
they're
right
nasty,
there.
I
want to see if Tampa can get some consistency going, like, and find another level here. I think they realize the urgency. And, you know, Dallas isn't going away. You know,
no.
I just we'll see. Head-to-head goaltender, Vasilevskiy.
Oh, yeah, it should be Vasilevskiy all day, right? But right. Hudobin, that should have been the case in the last round and the round before that.
Yep.
Right. More or less, anyway. So game three of the Cup Final tonight, week three of the NFL beginning tomorrow, so we'll have that. Maybe Al's brother will make an appearance. We'll see. Jay's yeah. Yankees tonight as well, so there's a lot going on. Enjoy your evenings. Enjoy the games. We are back tomorrow at
4 p.m.
We'll chat then.
At Scarborough Nissan, the health and safety of the community and their employees is a top priority. With extra safety measures in place, Scarborough Nissan welcomes you to experience the Rediscover the Road sales event on now, where you can finance a 2020 Nissan Rogue for 0% APR for 84 months or receive an up to $5,000 cash purchase bonus on other select models. Scarborough Nissan, driving satisfaction on Eglinton Avenue East at Warden Avenue. Visit ScarboroughNissan.com.
You've been listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3, powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. Finance a 2020 Rogue for 0% APR for 84 months or get a cash purchase bonus on other select models. Scarborough Nissan, Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.